emptied of ourselves and willing to let God become real to us by faith in Jesus Christ and experience Him in a personal relationship of faith and trust. But interesting, we cannot spiritualize all those references of the poor. As Pastor Brad shared just the one reference from James tonight, over and over again through the Scriptures, we're reminded of the poor and the need of caring for the poor. I'd like just to read a few that I have written for you just to think about, and not that we're going to focus our attention on that, but in Deuteronomy 15:11, the poor shall never cease out of the land. Wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor and to the needy in the land. They're never going to cease out of the land, God tells, speaking to Israel specifically, but yet reminding to us the fact that they're here. Proverbs 14:20, the poor is hated even by his neighbors, but the rich has many friends. The poor have no friends. Their own neighbors hate them, want nothing to do with them, and feel that they're always out on a take, always wanting something, always in difficulty. Solomon writes for us, the poor have no friends, hated by their own neighbors. In Ecclesiastes, he says, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Again, in Proverbs 21:13, whosoever stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Over and again through the Scriptures, the poor are mentioned as to what is happening in their lives and the rejection of by mankind, if you please, the attitude both of those who are spiritual and those of the world, how they're abused, how they're taken advantage of, how they're often the victims of unjust decisions and unjust rules. And God's Word does speak about our response to that, and we will focus on that in just a few minutes. But seeing the fact that the poor are, they did not plan to be there. They did not, in most cases, set out to be in that situation. But are broken, hurting, destitute people. What is our understanding of the poor? If I took time and we had the time to go around the room and kind of discuss what is our thoughts of the poor, the first thing we'd say, I don't understand them. I don't really comprehend how they live. Most of us can't relate to the fact of not having a toilet to use. I interviewed a staff member this week. And now, when I speak of a toilet, some of us were raised without houses. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I interviewed a staff member this week who was in Africa, raised in Africa. So she's not in our culture of our society. And has only been in America for 5 years. And she shared the fact, she said, up until her upper teens, they did not have a toilet. And she did not have toilet paper. And she said, so she would go out under a tree and lean up against a tree and then use a rock, and in her words, to clean herself. And she said, you know, just to have a piece of toilet paper is something that is, I'm so grateful every day just for a piece of toilet paper. We can't comprehend what it is to not have running water. And yet this same lady shared the fact that every day she would walk 2 miles to a cistern and get water and carry it on her head, 40 pounds plus on her head, and carry it to their home. Her brother and her father would take a shower. She had to go back and get more so that she and other members of her family could take a shower. We can't comprehend that. And yet if I had time, we could take you to West Virginia and I could take you to people that I've been in their homes. I've seen these situations where they did not have running water and it was water from outside. You say, well, I was raised on a farm. It was that way too. In 21st century, that's kind of hard to understand. To see people cooling their beverage in the creek, cooking it over an open fire outside, not having conveniences that we consider important. That's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to understand what it is not to go to bed hungry at night. And yet, I was just talking to Mike earlier that he was sharing, I believe it was his daughter who's a school teacher, and kids that are going home without meals into a house where there's no food and all weekend having nothing to eat. And we have met people that have had nothing to eat for weeks at a time. We do food distributions in the hills of West Virginia. I met a lady who came, and we have services first. She came to me afterwards. She says, Preacher, I'm not trying to impress you. I just want to tell you how important this food is. My husband has not had a job for 10 years. He occasionally gets a day's work. And we take that money and just try to exist. We have a garden when we can. This was the winter time. Food was gone. It had not been a good year. She said, we've had nothing in our house to eat for 1 week. Not a bag of flour. Not a bag of beans. We've had nothing. The food that you're bringing us is the first food we've had to eat in 1 week. Saw a family come in who had gone to a church asking for assistance and came to our mission. Children a little about the size of these kids. And they came in and they were just totally listless. And I said, the lady said, could I have some food? And I said, sure, would you like it to take it with you? Or do you want something to eat now? And she said, we'll take it with us. Those kids weren't even moving. There was no life in their eyes. They were just sitting there, just totally gone. I looked up and said, kids, would you like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And they turned slowly and looked at their mother. And she said, okay. Went to the kitchen and gave them peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and some Kool-Aid, and they just took one as fast as they could. They were throwing food in their mouths. I said, ma'am, how long has it been since they've eaten? She said, several days. It's hard for us to understand what that really means. And I've talked to people who say, I can't relate to that. I've never been in a situation when I've been without food. We say we're hungry, and yet most of the time it's just we haven't had the regular sequence of meals. In our society, in our world, there are hungry people. There are people who do not have the conveniences of furniture that we enjoy. I meet people who have been in homes where people are sleeping on piles of clothes because they don't have beds. Sitting on the floor eating food off of the floor because they don't have dishes and do not have tables and chairs. We become fearful when we see the poor because many times we don't know what to say. We're not sure how to respond. And we can become frustrated because they don't respond to us the way we think they should respond to us. And so we get a little bit bewildered, not knowing what to do. In understanding the poor, we have to understand that they have not chosen to be many times in the situation. But they are, again, victims of life. Victims many times of poor choices. Or the choices of others that have put them in the situation. They do not have many times the conveniences that we consider important, such as transportation. In fact, in serving the poor and ministering to the poor, transportation is a huge issue. They often do not have educational opportunities. They do not have the conveniences that we have. Dr. B. Sam Hart is an evangelist from Jamaica. And we were in New Jersey for 20 years in the ministry of a mission. And I asked Sam to come and to share an evangelistic crusade in the inner city. And Sam shared the fact that in the black culture, many of the blacks have not had the opportunity of education in understanding the scriptures and the fundamentals of the Word of God as we have and share. Sam said, you know, when the gospel, when the social gospel movement came, often fundamentalists and evangelicals did not make money available for educational resources to those of other cultures and other ethnic groups and other races. And so they did not go into fundamental Bible schools. They did not get the opportunity to go to places where the word would be taught. But the liberals opened up their seminaries and opened up their schools and said, you come to our place. And he says, the truth of the matter, many times there has been no foundation of that which we hold sacred and dear and so important to us, of the truth of God's word. Because no one has taken the time to share that fundamental message. And so ignorantly, they teach sometimes another gospel, or they teach a liberal teaching. And yet we become offended and we say, well, those churches are not solid. Those churches are not preaching. Those churches are not teaching the way they should teach. Sam shared with me the fact that in the early culture, the black was coming up through the educational system. Many did not go to school, and the only way they learned by repetition. The spirituals that we have sing and we think are very special really became tools of teaching and education so that they could learn. And they were used sometimes to even share a message and clear a message. And they became the part ultimately then of worship. We hold them now as spirituals that are good to sing and we enjoy them. And yet they were the very tools of education that were used in that culture. Folks, we don't understand and often can't comprehend why people don't think the way we think and how they don't act the way we act and how they don't respond the way we respond. Because they're living in a situation that's far different than anything we can even understand or relate to. Even in churches that are where there's poor folk go, they don't have the luxuries that you're enjoying in this church. They don't have the modern conveniences that we have. Often they get castaways of stuff, or they just pull together what they can, and they struggle. And yet we in the body of Christ have the privilege to reach out to the poor. In fact, God's word responds to us, reminds us, is blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in his time of trouble. And how then should we consider the poor and what should be our response? I think it begins, first of all, with a lot of prayer and saying, God, I need to see people through your eyes. Tomorrow morning, we will be talking about that in our morning worship. We will study from the scriptures what it is to see people through the eyes of Jesus. But it really needs to become our prayer that God would break our hearts to understand the fact that people that just don't look like we look and act like we look or act, talk like we talk, don't go to the church that we go to. People that are different have hearts that are desperately in need of experiencing the love and the grace and the mercy of God. found only by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a way of personal testimony. My dad was a country preacher in the hills of West Virginia. There were no missions nearby where we lived, and people would come into this little town, and we lived on a farm, which was the parsonage for the church. And they would stop near the church, and there was a little convenience store, and they would send people to, they'd say, well, is there a preacher in town that we can get some food and we can get some help? And so every day it seemed like we had strangers at our table. We had people that needed to be bedded down in our home. I did not handle that very well growing up. I did not have a good attitude about that as a kid. And I got the attitude, you know, those folks had kind of made their own bed. They had made their own choices. They had chosen what they wanted to do with their lives. They made poor decisions. It's their fault. Let them. They ought to do something about that. That was not a godly attitude. It was not Christ-like. But as a kid, as a teenager, that really became my thought. And truthfully, I don't think I'm at that point are different than many people in our world and society today. As we feel as though people in those situations need to just take care of their own responsibilities. And yet as we go to the Word of God, we find that God's Word says to us things much different. May I just share the back? I should share the end of the story before I go on in the Word. God called me to a mission in Atlantic City, New Jersey. But before He called me there, He had to break my heart. And He had to help me to see and understand that every man, woman, boy, and girl that walked through our doors was some other's son or some other's daughter. And there, but by the grace of God, it would be me. It was only His grace that had been extended to me that I was not in the position of asking for help, but I could be in a position of giving help. And as the Holy Spirit of God broke my heart and gave me a burden to see people as souls that were precious in the eyes of the Lord, then God called me to reach those people. In Isaiah, the 58th chapter, beginning at verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal the bread to the hungry and to bring the poor out of the cast out, bring the poor, sorry, the lights here got my eyes twisted here, the poor that are cast out to the house, when thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, that thou art able to hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth in the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go forth before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rewarded. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and shall hear. Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and put forth of the finger, and speaketh vanity, if thou drawest out the soul of the hungry, and satisfieth the afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity, and the darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make thy bones, and shall be like the watered garden, and like the spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and they and thou shalt be called, and repairer of the breaches, the restorer of paths to dwell in. The challenge God has given to us in His Word that we are to reach those that are hungry. And it is not our responsibility. It's not the fast that we've been called, the brokenness of heart, the brokenness of our inner spirit and inner man, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. We see also in God's Word, in James, I'd like to go back there, as Pastor Brad was there earlier, to verse 15 of chapter 2. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you say to them, depart in peace and be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give to them those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it not hath works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee thy faith by thy works. And he says in verse 20 that faith without works is dead. Our responsibility is more than just simply saying, I'll pray for you. But our responsibility is literally become the hands and the feet of Jesus to reach out and to embrace and care for those who are broken and hurting and poor. It takes very creative methods to make that happen. It takes different ways of doing ministry. It takes different ways and concepts of caring. And through this weekend, we'll be sharing some of those in very practical ways. But it begins with our hearts willing to be broken and saying, God, do a work in me. Break my heart for the poor. Break my heart for the addicted. Break my heart for the hungry. Break my heart for the needy. Break my heart, O God, for those that break your heart. That moves us out of our comfort zone. It moves us out of our area of convenience. It moves us from a place of, I know what to do, to a place where we then begin to rely on the Spirit of God to begin to show us and open doors of service and doors of ministry and doors of opportunity. You might say, well, in our church, we'd love to have the poor come. I have been in too many circumstances and places with the poor. When I've watched them come and after the service, one or two people might come up and shake hands and said, nice for you to come back again, and then leave. But we're people that are comfortable people, and we like to go talk to people we know. We don't go seek out people we don't know. We don't go find those people and sit down and talk to them and say, hey, I'd like to know about you. Where are you from? What's going on in your life? But we as a church, we go to people that we know, and we want the fellowship, and that's great. And yet people that are just a little different than us, just look a little different, just maybe don't know how to behave in church, don't really fit, maybe not dressed just the way we think they should be dressed, or maybe have the smell of alcohol in their breath. Maybe stood outside and smoked a cigarette before they got in, came in. We'd say, you know, well, y'all come back sometime. But do we really want them to come? Those are hard questions. That's a hard way. And I'm driving, I did not plan on saying that. I've cried out to God for weeks as to what He would have me to share. And I've studied countless passages of Scripture. But God wants us as a people to become broken before Him and saying, Lord,
Help us as a church, as a people, to reach those who are different than us. Those who are, we don't understand. Our mission field that might be up the road 3 miles or 6 miles, wherever. It might be bringing people in that are, do not have transportation. And when we bring them in, we might need to feed them because it's possible they haven't had nothing to eat for several days. It might change the way we do ministry because these people might need clothes. They might need furniture. They might have issues that are far different than you ever experienced. But I have found as we've done ministry over these years, what God orders, He pays for. And what God calls us to do, He will equip us to do. If we as His people are willing to open our hands and say, Lord, use me. Use me. The poor, we're going to have with us always. And I'm convinced we're going to see more and more poor people. I'm convinced we're going to see a greater need before us, all around us. I'm convinced that we've only just begun to see some of the challenges that we're going to face. And we, the body of Christ, have the privilege to wash the feet of Jesus as we embrace these destitute, desperate, hurting people. And we embrace them in Jesus' name. As I said earlier, sad part in the ministry today is that fundamentalists have many times left this area of ministry, and we've given it over to denominations and to liberal churches. And many of them have nothing spiritual going on. They just do the work. They do the acts without the message. We experience daily people that are so open to the gospel. Every day we see folk getting saved. Every day. We find the poor with open hearts, willing to hear, ready to listen. If they feel our love and they sense our heart of compassion, they're willing to hear the truth as we share. God has an awesome work for each of us to do. As we say, Lord, hear my. Hear my. Send me. My prayer is, and has been through these days of preparation, several weeks of preparation, is that God would open our eyes in this weekend to see a mission field that's all around us. We don't have to spend a lot of money to go to Africa, to South America, China. It's right in our front door. And people who need to be reached with the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ. May God help us. We say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in me. Break me. Mold me. Use me. I'm available to you. Father, As we sought to know your will tonight, we have sensed very clearly that you want to establish a foundation and understanding of a desperately needy group of people that most of us don't understand. Most of us find hard to know what to do. Most of us are baffled by even what to say. And we're certainly uncomfortable. Lord, I would pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would cause us to have eyes that would be open to see a mission field of opportunity that's right outside the doors of this church and right up the street and down the road. Right here in Scioto County, broken people, abused people, addicted people, hungry people, hurting people. And Lord, may we as your people would come before you, Lord, with hearts that are willing to be broken and poured out to be used to reach others with the good news of the gospel. May this weekend of missions give us a new vision, a new burden, a new understanding, and the privilege we have to serve you as we reach others that are so desperately in need. Thank you for this time this evening, for we ask in Jesus' name.